I am only going to introduce, which I knew was going to take me 2 weeks to get through, where we're going today in our text. A supreme act of faith. What would you be willing to do to prove to God and to the world that you believe Him in spite of what your neighbors may think or what your family may think or what your community in which you live may do or even what the government may try to do as a result of your actions? What would you do if you were told to do something that had never been done before? And the reason why it was being done was because the conditions that were going to cause it to exist also had never existed before. In fact, the words that you use to describe what's going to happen, no one has ever heard of before because these are words that aren't in anybody's vocabulary. So, literally, when you tell people why you're doing what you're doing, they're going to just look at you and say, what are you talking about? A supreme act of faith. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you turn with me to the book of beginnings, the first book in the Bible, the first book in the Old Testament, and that is the book of Genesis. And when you get there, turn to chapter number 6. And start looking with me at verse number 9. It reads as follows. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Let's pray. We pray, Father, as we spend a few minutes in your word, that you open our eyes, may we truly understand who you are, what your plan is for us, and what you want us to be as a result of hearing and obeying your word. For those who know you not, we pray, Father, that they might understand clearly and accept and believe and trust that you have a plan for our lives, and it involves salvation from sin through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died upon the cross for all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. And for that, we have eternal life with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our thought for today is simply an act of faith. An act of faith. We have discovered that the world in which Noah is living is a perverse, wicked world. And The Bible says, as we looked at the beginning of this chapter last week, God looked at the world he had created, and it says that in verse 5, the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God was upset, and he decided to destroy the world and everything that was in it. But we ended up with a note of hope in the midst of despair, because the last verse we shared from last week says this, but Noah, the conjunction Noah, but Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Does it seem strange to you, or does it bother you to think about the fact that God is watching? God is watching you and God is watching me. Does that bother you to think that God has got his eye on you? He's got his eye on me. Some folks would find that they have a problem because it's kind of like, you know, what are you looking at? What am I looking at? God would say, yes, why are you worried about me? Don't you have bigger fish to fry? Isn't there someone else who needs your attentive gaze more than I do? I'm fine. You don't have to watch me. You know, the question is if God is watching, it's a 24/7 thing. He's watching us in the light. He's watching us in the dark. He's watching us when we're in the crowd. He's watching us when we're alone. Reputation, they say, is what people think you are. Character is what you and I do when there's nobody around and we think nobody's looking. Sin, they say, is the forgetfulness of who God is, and when we decide to do something that we know is wrong, we're forgetting that God is watching, God cares, God is concerned, and that it does make a difference. The point is that God is watching. How much is he watching? It says in Matthew that even the number of hairs on our head are numbered by God. So when you were getting ready to come to church or whatever you did to bouffant your hair or to style your hair or to cover something up or to comb something over or to snip or clip or whatever we did to try to make it look better than it did when we got out of the bed, if one of those hairs fell out, God knows. That's how much attention he is paying. Every breath we take, every move we make is under the all-seeing eye of God. Now that's great as long as we're walking according to the way God wants us to walk, but if we're not doing what God wants us to do and we say that we are doing what God wants us to do and our walk and our talk don't go together, somebody's got a problem and it's not God, but it is you and I. And it should bother us if we're not walking and talking according to the way God would like us to be. I remember as a child, my mother was able to give me what was known as the look. And that was the thing that went on even into early adulthood, young adulthood, because I was living with my grandmother. My mother came to visit, and I got up, and I had not shaved, and I came down bouncing into the living room, and my mother looked at me. She didn't say anything. She just looked at me. I immediately retreated to the bathroom, found the razor, and then returned. And my grandmother just sat there and chuckled. And I said, and you're chuckling because, she said, I thought the whole thing was kind of funny. She said, she didn't have to say anything, but you knew exactly what the problem was, and you went and took care of it. I said, yeah, I knew she wasn't going to be happy, so there's no sense in saying anything, just go take care of the problem. But my point is it was the look. And you know, sometimes when you sit in church and you've got either your husband or your wife or your children, and they're not doing what, they're a little disruptive. You know, sometimes you give them the look. And the look speaks volumes because it says, you know what? If you don't straighten up and fly right now, something's going to happen to you. And I don't necessarily have to take you out. And people can hear you screaming as you go down the hall, pray for me! Pray for me! You know, we don't have to all look out the window and see you getting dressed down and touched up out the window while I told you when you sit in church, sit there and be, you know, no, you know, you don't have to go through all that. You just, the fidgeting stops. The attention goes back to the front of the church and, you know, you just straighten the look. Can God give you the look when we're not doing what we're supposed to do? And, you know, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So it's really fascinating that out of the whole world, that has gone crazy, that has gone wild, that has evil imaginations, that continually think of more perverse, strange things to do, and you're thinking, can they get any worse? Yes! The angels are bringing back reports. We should see what they're going down there now. And God said, I've seen it. It's sickening. You know, I'm sorry that I even thought this was a good idea. Who suggested that I create someone in my image? Who came up with that idea? God, I think you, oh, yeah, you're right. It was my idea, wasn't it? Yes, sir. Noah found grace. Now, when you look at Noah, there's a reason why he found grace. There was actually three reasons why he found grace. It says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. These are the people in which he was living. These are the folks who were around at his time. And it says, first of all, Noah was a just man. The second thing it says is Noah was perfect in his generation. And the third thing it says is Noah walked with God. Just. Noah was a just man. It means that when God looked at him, he considered him to be right. He considered him to be righteous. According to all that God was expecting from a man, he was living right before God. And it wasn't just a token appearance. It wasn't just a Sunday morning glory kind of a thing where you talk right and you act right and you smile and you say all the right things. Even on his worst days, even in his bad days, even when he dropped something on his toe, and his boys are sitting there watching to see what Dad's going to say. You know, you're going to say something that you back in and repeat to your mother, and you go, where did you learn? Well, Dad was out in the barn, and he dropped the hammer, and boy, the words flew, and we figured if it was good enough for Dad, I told little Shem, you little blah, blah, and no, when Noah dropped the hammer on his toe, he said, praise the Lord! Or, oh, what a beautiful day! When Mrs. Noah and Noah didn't see eye to eye, he didn't say, now look, woman, and blah, 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 blah. No, he didn't forget that this was the gift that God had given him to share his life, and there was no need to disrespect her by physically harming her or verbally attacking her. He was a just man. It means that if you follow him around, you know, like a reality TV show, you'd go, this is kind of boring. This guy's got no major drama in his life, and, you know, he's just living right. We won't get any TV ratings out of this story because, well, let's go talk to his neighbors. Now, there's some wild folks living in that where it's on reality TV. Now, there's some drama over there, but this Noah guy, he's living right. God is pleased when he looks at Noah. It says that he was perfect in his generation. It means he was blameless. It means that when God looked at him, there was no outstanding acts or thoughts in his life that was contrary to who God wanted him to be. You know, when we read about Seth, who was the continuation of the godly line because of his brothers, one named Cain, one named Abel, one had killed the other, and the other was condemned to wander, that when they had that third son, he was the godly seed. And it said that when Seth was born, that men began to worship God. Now, men began to worship God, but they did not continue to worship God, but there was one man who had a relationship with God, and he was perfect in his generation. He was blameless in his generation. If it was Sunday morning and you looked for where Noah was and his buggy was parked in the parking lot because he was down there at the Fall Creek Friends Church worshiping God. And it wasn't like he decided, well, I can pick and choose when I want to come because that's the kind of God I serve. He picks and chooses when he wants to bless. No. God is faithful to me. I want to show God that I'm faithful to him. I love him because he's been good to me. It says he was perfect in his generation. He stood out like a sore thumb. There's something about being different for God, that makes you stand out like a sore thumb. But the Bible says this, that, you know, him standing out like a sore thumb should be nothing unusual because the Bible says that when we come to Christ and have a relationship with him, we are walking in the light. The Bible says that we are not only walking in the light, that we have the light from within. The Bible also teaches us that the light within us, we are literally candles on a candlestick. We are the city set up on a hill. We are shining in the darkness, and we are proclaiming to men and women, boys and girls, that there is a reality in serving the true and the living God.
So a bright light in the midst of darkness was a man named Noah. He was just, he was blameless, and lastly, it says, he walked with God. The last person we find that walked with God was one of his grandfathers, a man named Enoch, because it says that Enoch walked with God, he was living right with God, and he didn't die. God said, you know what, I just love you so much, just come on. Come on, come on. You don't have to die. Just come on up here with me and just let's continue this thing. Now my question to you and me is an act of faith. If God is looking at our lives and the world in which we live, and truly it is a wicked world, do we stand out? When we are recorded in the annals of time, would they put our name down and said, but Debbie Bob found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Kathy Herman found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Jovi Holt found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because the act of faith that they are doing every day, they are living just, they are living blameless, they're perfect, and they're walking with God. It's not some strange relationship where, you know, you're walking and then you look around and it was two and now it's one and you're like, where did they go? Kind of like when I went to Lazarus as a 5-year-old with my mother and she said, stay beside me. We went to the bargain basement. I don't know if you remember the bargain basement. They had all these little tables with all kinds of bargains. And, you know, there was all kinds of people. And I was with my mother and I stopped to look at something and she didn't stop to see what I was doing because the instructions were, stay with me. She was supposed to stay with me. I was supposed to stay with her. And I stopped. And I looked, and I was in the land of the legs, because I was a little fellow, and all I could see was tall people, and I'm like, Mother? Mother? Where's my mother? And, you know, I was not walking with her. If I had been walking with her, going where she went, being led by her, sticking right by her side like a burr on your pants leg when you've been out in the woods, I would have not got separated. And when it says that Noah walked with God, he knew where God was and God knew where he was because they were walking together. Now my mother did find me. Had a few words with me, but she found me. I thought I told you the beginning of the look. An act of faith. Walking with God is an act of faith. Every day we walk with God is an act of faith. And the thing that spurs us on is because we know it pleases God, and God blesses us, and God loves us, and we want to make a difference in the world in which we live by living a life that pleases God, by showing that there's a reality in serving a true and living God. An act of faith. We're going to talk more about this act of faith next week. And if God told you to go do something out in the middle of the desert where what was supposed to happen had never happened before and it took you 100 years to build the thing and you've never seen one before, you were only given instruction, and you know, people are going, what's that? And you know, people are bringing their children by and just kind of standing, look at that old man out there in the desert building that thing out of gopher wood. What is it?
It's an ark.
What do we need an ark for?
It's going to rain.
This guy's nuttier than my dad said he was. I mean, rain? What are you talking about this? You're crazy, old man. Who told you to do that? God. Why? It's going to be a flood. God's going to destroy the world. Why is God going to destroy the world? Because it's a wicked place and he wants to start over. Well, who's he going to destroy? Well, if you're not on the boat, that would be you. And to be continued. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Reminding us of the fact that an act of faith requires not seeing, but believing. F-A-I-T-H. If we want to define it in action, forsaking all, I trust Him. Him being your Son, Jesus Christ, who made a way out of no way, who saved us from our sins, who gave us eternal life, who gave us the life, who lives within, who guides, who's given us His Spirit to remind us of who He is and what He said and to keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. So we thank You for that, Father, and whatever the act of faith is that we are required to demonstrate in our lives, may we be as bold as Noah in trusting You that what You said You mean and what You mean You said, and if we just trust You, it's all going to work out okay. Thank You for that, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We would like you to
Take your hymnals and turn to a page 570 for our closing hymn. And it's a nice little song. It talks about the sweet by and by. And I'm certain that Noah could be out there humming as he's working on the ark, that in the sweet by and by, things are going to be different. But I'm, in the meantime, going to continue to trust God. Heavenly Father, help us to be looking forward to that sweet by and by when we will meet with you on that beautiful shore. In the meantime, Father, as we're sailing the seas of life, help us to keep our hand on the rudder and help us to keep our faith on you as you guide us and lead us to that distant shore. In Jesus' name we thank you and praise you, and everybody said, Amen.